تطهيرة تطهيرة. This verse by its text indicates that the wife of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رضي الله عنهن are from the household of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. الإمام أبو مختار محمد الأمين الشنقيطي عليه رحمة الله in his تفسير أضواء البيان في إيضاح القرآن بالقرآن mentioned that this verse is the nafs that the wives of the Prophet رضي الله عنهن are from his household, and that that is because they form the sabab al-nuzul of this ayah. Allah was talking about them subhanahu wa ta'ala when this verse was revealed. And then he brought the qaida usuliyah that sabab al-nuzul fi qat'iyyat al-dukhul la yukharrijuha mukharrijun. Sabab al-nuzul, the circumstance of revelation of a verse fi qat'iyyat al-dukhul, is absolutely part of the ruling. Something happened and regarding it a verse was revealed. That thing regarding which the verse was revealed is absolutely a ruling part of that verse. La yukharrijuhu aw la yukharrijuha mukharrijun. Whatever removes a thing from the ruling can never remove it. Why is this verse bringing about this? It's because of the hadith that is in the books of hadith. Ashab al-Sunan reported the hadith that once the Prophet, it's also in Sahih Muslim, that once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam brought under a large cloak, he brought Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hussein, and then he said, Ha'ulahi ahlu bayti, these people are from my household. So the Shia uses hadith to say that then they do not believe that any other than these people are from the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But this verse refutes them, that this verse where Allah says innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijza 'ala al-bayt is a verse that clearly states that the wives of the Prophet are also from his household. They are in qat'iyya to do absolutely la yukharrijuha mukharrijun. What the Prophet did alayhi salatu wasalam is to make us understand that aside the fact that this verse was revealed regarding my wife, the ruling also applies to other than my wife. This verse was revealed regarding my wife, but it also includes other than my wife. So he mentioned those who are not from his wife, that look, they are also from my household. That is one. Don't forget, we told us that all those from the children of Abdul Muttalib, they form members of the household of the Prophet too, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the technical sense of it. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib is the son of Abu Talib, and Abu Talib is the son of Abdul Muttalib. So he falls under it, and so was Fatima. Fatima is bint Rasul. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is the son of Abdullah. Abdullah is the son of what? Abdul Muttalib. So he falls into. And then the same thing with Hassan and Hussein from two aspects. From the aspect of Ali, and also from the aspect of Fatima, their mother. So it's like saying these are also from it. Also the ulama of Usul, they say that zikrul ba'd la yukhassis. Zikrul ba'd la yukhassis. So these people are from the household of the Prophet, mean Ahlul Bayt. So that they are mentioned that 1, 2, 3 are from Ahlul Bayt does not mean that other than the mentioned are not from Ahlul Bayt. Zikrul ba'ab, whom kulluhum min Ahlul Bayt. For zikrul ba'ab, la yukhassis. That some people from Ahlul Bayt we are mentioned does not mean that it is restricted to those people that we are mentioned. So their mention was just to emphasize, of course, look at Fatima radiallahu anha, she's the daughter of the Rasul. The essence and the importance of Ahlul Bayt was conferred upon them by their relationship to the Messenger. So the importance of Ahlul Bayt itself is centered around the person of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. questions from the most important persons in Ahlul Bayt. Hassan and Hussein are connected to Ahlul Bayt from two angles. So they are from the most important persons in Ahlul Bayt. So Zikrul Ba'd la yukhassis, it does not mean that other than them are not from Ahlul Bayt. So these verse indicates that the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam wa radiyallahu anhunna are from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The second thing regarding his wives radiyallahu anhunna is that they are ummahatul mu'mineen. Allah says, "Al-Nabiyyu awladil mu'mineen min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum." The companions prefer the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to themselves. They love him more than they love themselves. Radiallahu anhu. Wa azwajuhu, and his wives, ummahatuhum, are their mothers. So the question is, this ayah Ahzab, Surah Al-Ahzab, was revealed between the 6th to 7th year of Hijrah. So if this was revealed between the 6th and 7th year of Hijrah, it was revealed in interlocking with Surah Al-Nur. Surah Al-Ahzab was revealed interlocked with Surah Al-Nur. And that's why you see the akhbar and ahkam of Surah Al-Nur and Surah Al-Ahzab, they interlock, very similar in ruling. Surah Al-Nur and Surah Al-Ahzab, they were revealed shortly after the Ghazwa of Banu Mustaliq. So their connections are very, very similar in their ahkam and their akhbar that they relate, these two surahs. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his wives are our mothers. So the question is that this verse was revealed between the 6th to 7th year of Hijrah, and Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, the first of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, had died 3 years before the Hijrah. She died in the 10th year of messengership. And you remember the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam spent 10 years in Makkah, spent 13 years in Makkah. So the 13 years in Makkah, 3 years before the Hijrah, she died. She died, and shortly before her, Abu Talib died. The uncle of the Messenger died, Abdul Muttalib. Abu Talib died, and shortly after, Khadija bint Khuwaylid also died. So these two deaths were very painful to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter Allah took him upon Isra and then Al-Mi'raj. So he returned because Khadija had died before the incidents of Al-Isra, Bil-Ijma. So when the Prophet returned alayhi salatu wa sallam, he married Aisha radiallahu anha. We will come back to that. We are trying to say that Khadija had died before the revelation of this verse. That wa azwajuhu ummahatuhu. The question is, does the ruling apply to her even when she had died before the verse was revealed? Ulama say it applies to her because she's from azwajuhu, and what he said is azwajuhu. So as long as she's his zawja radiallahu anha, then the hukum ummahatuhum or ummul mu'minin also applies to her. So it applies to her in ruling. So it's not in mistake, in error, that the person say Khadija Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, and then say no, she had died before the verse. No, it applies to her in ruling, because what Allah says is that wa azwajuhu wa hiya min zawjatuhu alayhi salatu wassalam. It says ummahatuhum fa hiya min ummahatil mu'mineen. Do we understand? So in ruling it also applies to her. So all the wives of the Prophet radiallahu anhunna are ummahatul mu'mineen, and each of them is called Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhum. The first of them, and about the most beloved of them to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we'll talk about that inshallah, was Khadija radiyallahu anha bint Khuwaylid. We have read in history that she was a great woman who engaged in business, that men sought after her, and that she had married two husbands. One died, one got divorced, or two of them died in narrations before she got married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that she had a maid, a servant, whose name was Maysara, and that this woman will travel to the, with the Prophet Muhammad, that she invited the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after she knew about his truthfulness. All this before he was raised as a messenger, before he became 40 alayhi salatu wasalam. So all this before that he was young and was known to be truthful. Al-Amin. And so she invited her and gave her some money to go on travel journeys to Sham and to places, buy goods and come back, and that when she saw how truthful the Prophet was, she presented herself saying, "Look, why not marry me?" and all that. All these are based on Wahiya. There are no authentic narrations on all these details. And that's why you see a lot of conflicting reports in them if you follow them up. Even regarding her age when she married the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the age of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he married her, there is ikhtilafat kathira that will indicate, there are a lot of differences that will indicate the incorrectness of these reports. In some reports, it was reported that she was 28 when she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was reported by Ibn Ishaq in his Sirat al-Nabawiyyah, Bidun Isnad. In other reports, it was mentioned that she was 40 years old. And that report has been mentioned by Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Waqid al-Waqidi. Kazzab, Matrukun Bitarkihi. Ulama agreed that he is a fabricator of narration. Bal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal kazzabahu, and he said, "Huwa yurakkibu al-asanid." He gets narrations and he creates chains of narrations for them. He is the one who reported that the Prophet was 40, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he married that Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years old when she married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all those people who report that narrations are carrying along their narrations of liar. Al-Waqidi is kazzab. So, and he's the one who reported that she was 40. He also reported that she was 45 in another report. And in another report by Imam al-Bayhaqi, it said that she was 35 years old, radiallahu anha. In another report also by Imam al-Bayhaqi in Dala'il Nubuwa, it said that she was 21 years old. So which one is correct? And all of these, no siha in all of the asanid. So tell yourself, because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, كَفَى لِلْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that it suffices for a man that he is a liar, that he lies, أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ, that he says of, he narrates just all of what he hears, no tamyiz. And this was what happened to Ibn Umar al-Waqidi. Muhammad ibn Umar al-Waqidi was a scholar of hadith, and he's a scholar of hadith. Huwa imamun fil magazi. It was said that when he collected, he died about 208 years after Hijrah. It was said that if he collected reports regarding the places of war, like Badr, like Uhud, like Khaybar, like Hunayn, like Banu Mustalik, and all of these, he will trace the location. He will go there. If you go to report that the Prophet stayed near a well, you go and look for that well and start measuring, giving measurements, reporting detailed narrations. I hope you are not hearing me. It's prohibited. Reporting detailed narrations about the world and about the events that took place. And that's why even in some matters in Maghazi and Al-Wafayat, Samadahu Al-A'imma, Hatta Ibn Hajar, even Ibn Hajar, he depended on Ibn Umar al-Waqidi in some aspects of narration. So Ibn Umar al-Waqidi had a lot of reports. He had books collecting just reporting narrations. Like in Huwa ma mayyaza bayna riwayatihi. He was not differentiating between his reports. وَلَا يُسْنِدُ الْقَوْلِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And he will not أَقْوَالِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And he will not affiliate statements to those who have reported them. فَجَرَى عَلَىٰ لِسَالِهِ الْكَذِبِ. So he started narrating, we heard this, we heard that. He was narrating all of what we heard without saying so and so said, so that the wisdom would be on so and so. So he reported it as his own report. So he became one of the two liars. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man haddatha anni hadithan yura annahu kazbun فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبَيْنِ أو فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. The two reports are established. Whoever reports narrations that are not known to be authentic from me, he is one of the two liars. The first liar is the one who fabricated it, and he is the second person. So he became like that. Al-Waqidi was not intending lies, as some of the scholars have said. But Imam Ahmad said, La huwa yurakibul asanid. He got those asanid, he got those reports and created asanid for them. And that is what fabricating narrations. So the one who said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's wife Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 when the marriage was consummated. And this was all the people have been reporting. And that's why Dr. Akram Diyaw al-Umari in his book As-Sirat al-Nabawiyya al-Sahiha, he said, رغم أن هذه المعلومات لم يثبت حديثيا إلا أن مشتهرة عند الأخباريين. Despite the fact that these narrations لم يثبت حديثيا, they are not established at all. When the laws of the science of hadith are applied to them, you find that they are not established. لكن اشتهرت عند الأخباريين. They became popular among those who report narrations. Elsewhere he said, وَلَا يُجَدُ مِنَ الرِّوَايَاتِ الصَّحِيحَةِ مَا يُوَضِّحُ هَذِهِ الْأَحْدَاثِ. All these detailed narrations regarding the Prophet's marriage with Khadija radiallahu anha, alayhi salatu wasalam, there are no narrations that are established that affirms them. So when you hear, begin to hear detailed narration regarding the marriage between the Prophet and Khadija, know that there are lies there. They are not established. So we should be careful about these narrations. He was 40 years old, he was 30, he was 15, he was that. The same thing, she was this, she was 30 years old, there are no authentic narrations. The same thing with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some report they said that he was 25. In some report they said he was 30. In some report they said he was 37 when he married Khadija. And they are not all authentic reports. And our religion is based on authenticity. In fact, people draw ahkam fiqhiyah from these lies. If a man wants to prove to you that you can marry a woman that's older than you, after all, the Prophet married Khadija and she was 40, he was 25. It's a lie. And you are affiliating it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he did something when he did not do it. So Khadija radiallahu anha, we will say, is the first wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is authentic. And that he lived with her. He lived in her house, and she was with him when revelation started to come to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam, it is authentic. And that when he first saw Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he ran to her, and she gave her comfort. She talked to her, she calmed him, she talked to him and calmed him alayhi salatu wasalam. All these are found in authentic narrations in Bukhari and Muslims and other books of hadith. So all these ones are authentic. And that he said alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah gave him his children from her. It is nice to read some of the riwayat, some of the comments of Aisha radiallahu anha regarding Khadija radiallahu anha. Aisha said radiallahu anha, مَا جِرْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ نِسَاءِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا جِرْتُ عَلَىٰ خَدِيجَةٍ. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I was never jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as I was jealous about Khadija radiallahu anha. وَمَا رَأَيْتُهَا, even when I didn't meet her, she was young at the time. The Prophet married alayhi salatu wasalam Aisha when she was 6 years old. So, and Khadija radiallahu anha, and that was because, let's be mentioning the reports together inshallah, because of time. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam married Aisha radiallahu anha about 2 years and thereabouts after Khadija's death. And at that time, Aisha radiallahu anha was 6 years old. So if Aisha radiallahu anha was 6 years old, 2 years after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, it means she was 4 years old around the time Khadija died radiallahu anha. So she did not meet Khadija. She was too young to have met Khadija radiallahu anha at age 4 or less than that perhaps. Because it was said that he waited for 2 or more years. Imam Bukhari mentioned that in his Sahih. So if that was the case, it meant she was small at the time that Khadija died, radiallahu anha. She said, "Fama ra'aytuha," even when I didn't meet her. But she was the one I was most jealous of regarding the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam, radiallahu anhunna. Walakin kana yukthiru dhikraha. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam used to mention her a lot, always talking about her. Imam talks about his wife that is late, if he had actually enjoyed relationship with her, he will always be remembering her. Let's hear what Aisha said, radiallahu anha. He said, "Rubbama dhabaha shaat, thumma yaqta'uha a'da'an." Sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhbaha shaat, he will kill a lamb and he will cut the part. "Thumma yaqta'uha fi sada'iki Khadija." And then he sends the lamb part to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. It meant he really loved Khadija. And he remembered all the time the relationship between Khadija and her friends, radiallahu anhunna. فَرُبَّمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ. Sometimes I said to him, كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا Khadija. Aisha radiallahu anha said, رُبَّمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ كَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا Khadija. You are behaving as if there is no woman in this world except Khadija. Aisha radiallahu anha said, sometimes he said, is there no woman in this world except Khadija? In some riwayat, you say a woman that had red, you see, what holds the teeth? What's it called? The woman with red gum. That is old women. You be old woman. In fact, in another riwayat, she said, Abdallakallahu khaira minha. Allah has given you something better than her. When you married me, I was a virgin, nobody touched me, and all that. So that's why she said, radiallahu anha, ma girtu ala ahadi min nisa'i an-nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, ma girtu ala Khadija radiallahu anha. She was too jealous of Khadija radiallahu anha. He says that I will tell him that, and then fayakul innaha kanat wa kanat وَكَانَتْ مِنْهَا وَلَدٍ. So when she says that, I don't know other women apart from Khadija, the Prophet starts saying, in her kanat, she was this, she was nice, she was this, she was that. And then she had children with me. Because of all the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, except Maria al-Qibtiyya al-Misriya, it was only Khadija that gave him children. So she had firstly Qasim and then Abdullah. In some riwayat you see Qasim and Tahir and At-Tayyib, which will make 3 boys. But the ulama say it was Abdullah that is Tayyib or Tahir, so that he will have 6, because the number of the boys is constant. What of the girls is constant? That there are 4. There was Zainab and Ruqayyah, there was Umm Kulthum and Fatima radiallahu anha. All of them died before Islam except Fatima. But all the boys died before Islam at all. But all the girls witnessed Islam and were Muslims. Ruqayyah radiallahu anha was the first wife of Uthman bin Affan. And during the Battle of Badr, he could not go because she was ill radiallahu anha. By the time they returned from Battle of Badr, she was dead. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam married his other daughter Umm Kulthum to Uthman bin Affan. And so he was called Zulurain. And Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu counted it from the fadail of Uthman that he had, and no man, no human being would share it with him. He said, no human being, no man kept the 2 daughters of a Nabi except you, Uthman. No human being married 2 daughters of a Nabi except you, Uthman. It was from the fadail of Uthman bin Affan. So the number of the daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known to be 4. Ruqayyah, Zainab, Umm Kulthum and Fatima radiallahu anhunna. All of them lived up to the time of Islam, even after the death of their prophet, of their mother radiallahu anha, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. But the boys all died before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was raised as a messenger. And then we are Qasim and Abdullah. على القول الصحيح. We can find قاسم and طيب and طاهر. علماء في عبد الله الطيب and طاهر. So if you count طيب and طاهر, you count 7. But if you count عبد الله الطيب and طاهر, you count 6. So these are the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not have from any other woman except Khadija. So فهي كانت وكانت وكانت. He will tell عليه الصلاة والسلام. He will tell Aisha رضي الله عنها, she was talking about her good qualities. It meant she really had good qualities, رضي الله عنها. It says, she said again, that the first narration we read was from Sahih of Imam Bukhari. She said again, Aisha رضي الله عنها, she said, فغيرت يوما. So one day I was jealous of Khadija again, the woman she didn't see, رضي الله عنها. Aisha was jealous again because she loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from the nature of women is that if they love a man, they don't want any man, any other woman to love the same man. It is from their nature. When women love a man, they don't want any other woman to love the man. So when the man shows love to any other woman, they become more jealous. They start being jealous. So she said, forgive to your man. But her own jealousy did not lead her to start committing harm against the rest of the women. We hope we'll be able to come to discussions like this. Inshallah. He says, forgive to your man. So one day I showed my jealousy again. He said, فَقُلْتُ مَا أَكْسَرَ مَا تَذْكُرُهَا. It's too much. You're mentioning her is too much. All the time. قَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Allah has replaced with something better than that. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma abdalani Allahu khayran minha. No. Allah has not given me something better than her. رضي الله عنها. قد آمنت بي إذ كفر بي الناس. She believed in me when the people disbelieved in me. And she was the first person to become a Muslim. The first Muslim, let's make Allah the itlaq, was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And it suffices as a pride for women that we are the first people who believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women, because the Prophet loved them so much, women. One day he said to them, radiallahu anhunna, antum ahabbu nas ilayya, you women, you are most beloved of the people to me. And then those who do not know Islam will say Islam has put women into shackles. No, Islam frees them. Because if our messenger who came with the Sharia considered the women most beloved to him, and of course, that is over the men, it meant that he would not do anything in the opposite interest of the women. So when it was that the jihad of the men is that they go out and cut necks, the darbar riqab. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, that kutiba alaykum al-qital wa huwa kurhun lakum. We have legitimized, we have made it from the laws of the Sharia that you cut hair qital in battle. Wa huwa kurhun lakum. Even when it is strong on you. Brothers, it's not easy to cut the head of a human being. But the women, where did he say their jihad is? Yahoo. So did he like them or not? He loved them so much. And he gave them what was appropriate for them. Because the message was from Rabbul Alameen. وَمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي حَرَجِ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ. مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ. Allah has not intended to put difficulty in our religion. So the Prophet loved the women, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, ya Allah has not given me something better than her. When all the people disbelieved in me, she believed. Radiallahu anha. Wa sadaqani iz kazzabani an-nas. She believed me to be truthful when the people said I was lying. They didn't say that the Prophet was lying, but they said that what he said was a lie. SubhanAllah. They believed that the Prophet ﷺ was Ameen. He was not a liar. But they are saying that what is coming out of his mouth is a lie. Subhanallah. But that time he asked the courtly. She said, yes, you are saying the truth. No evil can touch you. Because you used to connect the ties of kinship. You used to fight, support people who are oppressed. You believed in Allah. You were this, you were that. I don't think it was a jinn that has harmed you. But I have a relative who is learned in the sciences of revealed religions. Let's go and meet him. This is a nice woman. Radiallahu anha. So she believed him and accepted him to be true. And she supported me with her wealth. This is indication that Khadija radiallahu anha was rich. Because if she is not rich, he will not be describing her support wealth-wise. Do you understand? That is not to say those narrations were authentic. If halamani and not, she did that at the time that people prevented their wealth from me. ورزقني الله ولدها إذ حرمني الله أولاد النساء. But Allah also is حرمني أولاد النساء when He did not make it easy, possible for me to have children from other women, He made it possible for me to have children from her. And so He did not have children from any woman except Khadija, and then later, in the end times, Al-Mariya Al-Qibtiya Al-Misriya, who was sent to him by a Muqawqi from Al-Iskandariya. So this Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that about Khadija. And Imam Ahmad reported this hadith and it is sahih. Also the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam talked about Khadija. One day Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, the fadail of Khadija are many. Jibril came to greet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving worship. And was telling him that, say, give my taslim to Khadija. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say to Khadija, Ya'ani Jibreel wa yakra'u alayki salam. Jibreel came to me and he said, Salamu alaykum to you. How honorable she was, radiallahu anha. And Allah has promised her a house, a mansion in Al-Jannah, radiallahu anha. But there is an underlying fact around this. That all of what had been mentioned about her dealings with the Prophet were good. The lesson for the women here is, how nice are you to your husband? Your husband that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has described that, huwa jannatuki wa naruki. How good are you to him? How nice are you to him? How patient are you regarding him? How supporting are you to him? Or, bilax, how difficult are you, how harsh are you, how disobedient are you as a Muslim woman? Men too, how nice are we to our wives? He says, radiallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, khayrukum li ahlihi, wa ana khayrukum li ahlihi. The best of you are, the best of you are, the best of you to their household, and I'm the best of you to my household. It was like that. The Prophet was nice to her, and then she was extraordinary. Radiallahu anha. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kammala min al-rijali kathiru. Many men attained perfection. Walam yakmul min al-nisa illa salatun. Not any woman attained perfection except three of them. Maryam bint Imran. Maryam, the mother of Imran, the daughter of Imran, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Maryam bint Imran, Maryam, the daughter of Imran, the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Who will be the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Jannah? The hadith is authentic. It is reported by Imam Ahmad. Maryam bint Imran, Umm Isa, she is going to be one of the wives of our own messenger. Tell those guys, let them know. If you say Jesus is your Lord, the mother of your Lord is the wife of our own messenger in Jerusalem. They are joking. هو خير البشر the best of man. So he's going to marry التي أحسنت فرجها عليه الصلاة والسلام. They wish that the messenger had been sent to them. The non-Muslim wish that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to them. So that he's not sent to them, they say a lot of evil things about him out of jealousy. And they will seriously jealous. And they will regret if they don't follow him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So first of them, the women who attained perfection was Maryam bint Imran. Wa Asiya imra'atu Fir'aun. And Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, radiyallahu anha, wa Khadija bint Khuwaylid. She attained perfection. And Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid, radiyallahu anha. And then he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, this hadith was reported by Aisha radiyallahu anha. And she said about him radiyallahu anha. And he said about her radiyallahu anha. وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَةَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ السَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ السَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. The excellence of Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, or the superiority of Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا ala sa'iri nisa, over the rest of the women, kafadli sarid, it's like the superiority of as-sarid ala sa'iri ta'am, over the rest of the foods you have. What is sarid? Sarid is meat and bread. Meat and bread. It is from the best of foods to the Arabs, meat and bread. So he said it is the best, she's like that regarding other women. Ulama say because Arabs like that. So it would have meant that what the Prophet was saying, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the way Arabs love sarid more than other food, I like Khadija more than, I like Aisha radiallahu anha more than Khadija. Some of the scholars have said that. But ulama say, like Imam Ibn Kathir, like Sheikh Salih, Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, and other scholars of Sunnah, then there's no need to bother yourself about who was better between Aisha and Khadija. Don't bother yourself about that. Because you see some fadail of Khadija that you are not in Aisha. And you see a lot of fadail of Aisha that you are not with Khadija. So each of them is with herself from the best of women. More so, Aisha did not meet Khadija. And Khadija also did not meet Aisha. She had died before Aisha radiallahu anha came into the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is no need bothering ourselves with that. So all of these, that hadith we read, this hadith is sahih, is reported by Al-Imam Ahmad, also Imam Bayhaqi, also in their books of hadith. So that was Khadija radiallahu anha and the children she had for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the picture of the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before her death. After her death, in 2 years after, one of the women very bold, radiallahu anha, the wife of Uthman ibn Maz'un, who came. She came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, oh Messenger of Allah, you've been saying sometimes now without a wife, why not marry a virgin girl? The Prophet said, who amongst the virgin girls? He said, the daughter of Abu Bakr, Aisha. He said, all you need a sayyid, that is a woman that can marry. He said, who amongst the women, sayyidat? He said, Sauda bint Zam'a. She said, okay, go and get them, go and make the proposal. So it was Hukaym who came to Abu Bakr the Siddiq and told Abu Bakr that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was proposing marriage to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Abu Bakr was saying, no, he's my brother, we are brothers. He said, no, brothers in the deen. It does not affect marriage to your daughter. And that is the truth. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. That they are friends, close friends, and all of that does not prevent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam marrying from the household of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. In fact, history has proven that it was the best thing, and it was of course the best thing. Whether history proved it or not, but it is the best thing and it is proven by history. And that's why the Khulafa ur-Rashidun, all of them, the four of them, were people who were connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by marriage. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was married. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Aisha radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu gave his daughter also, Hafsa, we'll talk about her inshallah, Al-Adawiyah, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam gave his two daughters, Ruqayya and Umm Kulthum, to Uthman ibn Affan. And he gave his daughter also, Fatima, his beloved, radiallahu anha, to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So that is the fourth. So how connected do you think these people will be to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And all relationships will cut on the day of Qiyamah. Except the Nasab and the Sabab. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith is declared Hasan by Shaykh al-Albani in Silsilat al-Sahiha. He says, يَقْتَعُ كُلُّ سَبَبٍ وَنَسَبٍ إِلَّا سَبَبِهِ وَنَسَبِهِ. It says, يَقْتَعُ كُلُّ سَبَبٍ وَنَسَبٍ إِلَّا سَبَبِهِ وَنَسَبِهِ. Every sabab, every marriage connection will cut off on the day of Qiyamah. And nasab, every lineage will cut off on the day of Qiyamah. إِلَّا سَبَبِهِ وَنَسَبِهِ. Except those that are connected to me, those ones will not suffer. So there is connection between Abu Bakr and Siddiq and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will not cut off, alayhi salatu wa sallam. The same thing with Umar, the same thing with Uthman, the same thing with Ali ibn Abi Talib. It will not cut off. And that is rubbed against for the Shia who declare all these people kuffar. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that his relationship with these people will not be cut off. Radiyallahu anhu. So the fadail of Khadija are much. So thereafter, we came to Aisha and we described the fact that radiyallahu anha, she was married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that occurred when she was 6 years old. The Prophet married Aisha radiyallahu anha when she was 6 years old. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Aisha radiallahu anha when she was 6 years old. Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says, bil ijma', it is with the consensus of the Muslims that that was what happened. Imam ibn Kathir mentioned ijma'. Imam al-Shawkani mentioned ijma'. Ibrahim ibn Munzir mentioned ijma'. Ibn Kathir, in fact, in his own comment, he said, radiallahu alayhi rahmahullah, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam ibn Kathir, when he spoke about that, he says, فَهِيَ مَا لَا خِلَافَ فِيهِ إِنْدَ النَّاسِ. This matter, there is no khilaf regarding it. That the Prophet married Aisha when she was 6 years old. And she came into his house in Medina in the first year of Hijrah in the month of Shawwal, after the battle of Badr in the month of Ramadan. She came into his house in the month of Shawwal in the first year after the Hijrah from Makkah to Medina. That was when she started to live in his house. And she lived with him for another 9 years. She died when he died when she was 18 years old. Aisha radiallahu anha died. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam died when Aisha radiallahu anha was 18 years old. She lived for 63 years. She died 58 years after Hijrah, radiallahu anha, and she transferred the knowledge all through this period. Because she was very learned, and she is described with beauty, she is described with nice behavior, and very swift in her speech. She was excellent in her presentation. Some of the companions have mentioned, some of the Tabi'un, all of Nuzbayr specifically say, they have not listened to a human being as nice in presentation like Aisha. If she's talking, everybody likes to listen. Because of the intelligence that is noted from what she says. So she's from the best of wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and from the most knowledgeable. Imam Zahabi alayhi rahmatullahi siyara alamu nubala. He says, وَلَا أَعْلَمُ فِي أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في النساء مطلقا امرأة أعلم منها. لا أعلم في أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ولا في النساء مطلقا امرأة أعلم منها. I do not know in the Ummah of Muhammad. So the Prophet said, أحب الناس إلي عائشة. Let's rest. أحب الناس if it was not permissible that a man love one of his wives more than the rest, he will not answer that question. And they all know, all the wives knew that, companions knew that, and that was why when the companions wanted to give Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gifts, they came on the base of Aisha. They would help him calculate. So say they should be in the day in the house of Aisha. So say they will be in the house of the day of Aisha. That is the day they will take the gifts to him. Umm Salama radiallahu anha said, the women sat down one day and said, why is it that the companions used to do that? Oh Prophet, tell them not to do that again. He remained silent. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So they sent Fatima radiallahu to tell the Prophet that fear Allah regarding the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tuhibbina ma uhib. Fatima, will you not like what I like? She just remained silent and left. So they sent Zainab into Jahsh. Because Zainab bint Jahsh, we will mention it if we have the opportunity. Let's quickly go to her. Zainab bint Jahsh was married to the Prophet from the heavens. Allah married her to the Prophet Allah. And she was mentioned to be very beautiful. She was mentioned to be not tall and not, you know, fat. Even when the Prophet sallallahu made a statement that connected that her hands were long. And so the wife of the Prophet used to put their hands together to see whose hands were longer. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that asra'u kunna bisuqati aswalu kunna yada. The quickest of you to meet me, that is when I die, is the longest of you in our hands. The one who will quickly die when I die. And that was why Zainab bint Jahsh died 6 months after the Prophet was thereabouts. She was the first amongst the wives of the Prophet radiallahu anhunna who died after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And her kisra is mashhura in the Quran. So, and she spent a lot of money. She used to give sadaqah a lot, Zainab bint Jahsh. And a lot of verses in the Quran are connected to her. Radiallahu anha. So Aisha said, we used to connect our hands, even when she's a short person. We never thought she was the one. But later we knew that what he meant, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in terms of what? Giving sadaqah. In some riwayat, she's also mentioned to the Ummul Masakin. She gave a lot. And she was said to be brilliant in whatever was related to handiwork. So her hand is really long. She could do things that are crap, and she spent. So the Prophet described her with what? Our hands. So at walu kunna yadan, the longest of you in our hands is the first one to meet me. So she was from the most beloved also to the wives, among the wives to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And she used to be happy, and she used to tell the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, that the way you kunna ahali kunna زوجكن أهالي كنا. You, it was your family, your father, your brother and uncles that married you to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وزوجني الله من فوق سبع سماوات. But me, it was Allah from above the seven heavens that married me to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know William, everyone goes on to have strong point. And that's why, sorry for women, for the woman who does not know her own strong points with her husband. Sorry for the woman who does not know her own strong points with her husband. As a woman, you must know what are your strengths before you marry. You must know, what do I have? What will I hold on to in this marriage? This marriage into which I go, what's my strong point? What are my assets? What are my strong areas? My knowledge, my beauty, my family relations, my religion, my patience, all these qualities are there for her. A woman must look forward. She must look inward all the time. What qualities do I have? What will I have as my asset in the house of my husband? So she used to say that, you, your relatives married you. Me, Allah told him to marry me. You remember the kiss of very lengthy in Surah Al-Ahzab. وَإِذْ تَقُولُ لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكَ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسَ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَخْشَاهُ. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was told by Allah, وَإِذْ تَقُولُ, you need to say to the one, لِلَّذِي أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, to the one that Allah has shown His mercy by making him becoming a Muslim. That was very Ibn Hamza. Mawla Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Usama. Zayd is Abu Usama. Usama ibn Zayd, Habib al-Rasul, Habib ibn Habib. Usama is Habib al-Rasul. His father Zayd is Habib al-Rasul. So he used to be called Habib ibn Habib al-Aswad. Because Zayd ibn Usama ibn Zayd was black. His mother who gave birth to him, Ummu Ayman, was black. And she's from Habash, Ethiopia. She was the slave of the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah. So the Prophet inherited Ummu Ayman from his father. It was even said that she even breastfed him and took care of him when he was young. So Zayd ibn Haritha married Ummu Ayman and they had Usama. Usama is black. And Usama married Fatima bint Qais al-Qurashiya. So this was how the connections were with the companions. So Zayd was the husband, and Amallahu alayhi bil Islam. The name of Allah upon Zayd is the name of Islam. وَأَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. And you, Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, you also showed ni'mah to Zayd. What ni'mah did the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, what ni'mah did he show to Zayd? What ni'mah did he show to Zayd? Let me make you talk now. What ni'mah did the Prophet show to Zayd? He freed him. Yes, his name of his and he freed him. So he said to him, Amsik alayka zawjak. Allah described Zayd there. That the Prophet used to say to him, Amsik alayka zawjak wa taqillah. Hold on to your wife, because Zayd used to complain, this my wife, this my wife, this my wife. So the Prophet said, Amsik zawjak, hold your wife, keep your wife. Wa taqillah, fear Allah regarding her. Allah said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa tukhfi fi nafsika ma Allah mubdin. You keep in your heart what Allah is going to show out. Wa takhsha an-nasa, you are shy of what the people will say. Wallahu ahaqqu an takhsha. But Allah is the one most deserving of your being afraid. Allah is most deserving that you fear Him. And that is why at the beginning of that surah, what did He say to him? He says, Ya ayyuha al-Nabiyy, taqillah. O Messenger of Allah, fear Allah. O Messenger, O Prophet, fear Allah. So he says, don't fear them. Allahu ahakku an taksha. Allah is most deserving to be feared. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِنْهَا وَقْرًا. When they gave her the talaq and her period, her iddah got completed, how did it happen? Because there was nakaha. Zayd, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, reported that Zayd said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told Zayd to tell Zainab after the iddah that he is going to marry her. Zayd said radiallahu anhu, when I got to her, I saw her making hajj. She's preparing, like baking something to bake. You know, when women are preparing flour, they mold the flour, molding it and all that. I saw her doing that. He said, radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik said that Zayd said that when I saw her, I could not look at her again. I turned my back to her because now the Prophet had mentioned her that he wanted to marry her. I could not look at her again because of reverence for the Prophet Muhammad. The companions revered the Prophet. Respect. Amr ibn al-As. This hadith is a Muslim. He said, if I'm told to describe the Prophet, I can't describe him. Because I was shy to look at his face. When he talked to us, we are our heads, we are down. So when he mentioned I wanted to marry a woman, he could not look at the woman again. The woman he just divorced. So Allah says, Zawwajnakaha. So he said, Anas ibn Malik said that God said the Prophet entered onto her without even, without seeking her permission. You know why? Zawwajnakaha. Allah had married him, Allah had married her to him. So he entered onto her without her permission. He entered onto her without her permission. And then she became the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Zainab bint Jahsh was beloved. And then the Prophet was rich, there was money in the house. So he cooked food and brought lamb and all this and told Anas, go and tell the people to come and eat. So the people started to come and eat. At that time, it was only the room, because the wives of the Prophet, let's say it here, did not have rooms and palace. Every wife had only her own room. And the Prophet did not even have his own room. The Prophet didn't have a personal room. He stayed in the rooms of his wife. And that is why, alayhi salatu wasalam, he will welcome his visitors in the masajid. If at all he entered his house, when he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that bayna mimbari wa ghurfati rawdatun min riyad al-jannah, that between our kamaqal alayhi salatu wasalam, between my rawda, he had a rawda, like something like a fountain, something in slight depression. Our bayna mimbari, between his mimbar and his house, is rawdatun min riyad al-jannah. Scholars say a lot of things about that hadith. The place is in Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. And he said in another hadith that he used to put his head when he made an itikaf in the room of Aisha to come. So the room of Aisha is just next to the masjid. The room of Aisha is just next to the masjid. Such that if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is talking in his room, people used to hear them in the masjid. They used to hear what the people are saying in the masjid. And this is clearly stated in the hadith of the woman who was divorced by her husband. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and Ashabu Sunan reported it too. This woman got divorced, and so she married another man. But this man, his private organs don't get erect. And she described it in the hadith, that his private organs were like the tears of a cloth that is loose from the cloth. So one of the companions was in the masjid hearing what this woman was saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was shouting that Abu Bakr and Siddiq should go and stop the woman from saying that kind of a thing in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was the woman the Prophet told alayhi salatu wasalam that la'allaki tarji'i ila zawjatiki, that perhaps you want to return to your husband. He said, la hatta tazuki usaylatahu wa yazuka usaylataki, that you can't go back to your husband, the first husband, until this second husband has tasted your sweetness and you have tasted his sweetness. What we want to point out in this hadith was that the proximity of the household, the wife's room, to the masjid, such that what they discussed in the masjid was heard, what they discussed in the room were heard in the masjid. It was just come out of the room of Aisha in the masjid. So Zainab bint Jahsh, at that time the walima was done while she was in the room. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has a report that she only turned her back. She turned her back facing the wall while the companions were making the walima. So they made the walima. People were eating. Some went. About three or four of them, in some report three, in some report one. And then Arja is three. They left, they remained, and they were talking. The Prophet wanted to see his wife. They didn't have the opportunity. So he will go out and start going into the growth of his wife. If you read this narration, you know that the wife didn't have other than growth. Like you can say, face me, I face you. He will go to the room of Aisha. Aisha asked her, what's happening? Have you seen the woman? He said, I've not seen the woman. I said, go and see her. I said, I will see her. He went out to this one. How far? How's the new wife? Have you seen? I said, some people are saying, go and see her. I said, so he was entering from one room to the other. It meant they didn't have more than one room. If you see the siyak, you will understand this. So the Prophet was shy to tell the people to go away. Alayhi salatu wa salam. And here, Allah reveals the verse of hijab. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu, la tadkhulu buyutan nabiyyi illa an yu'zana lakum ila ta'amin ghayra nazirina ina'am. ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين الحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء الحجاب ذلك أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما. So this verse was revealed. يا أيها الذين آمنوا all who believe لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام. From now on, don't enter the house of the Prophet to wait for food unless you are invited to the food. Ghayra nazirin, don't wait. Don't calculate the time of a meal to go there. But when the meal is there and you are invited, go there. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ فَادْخُلُوا. So when you are invited, go. وَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ, when you finish eating there, فَانْتَشِرُوا, go away. Spread out. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ الْحَدِيثِ, don't start talking there, don't start gisting there. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيَّ, this your gisting is coughing on to the messenger. فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ, but he is shy of you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ, but Allah is not shy of telling you the truth. Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, that when I came into his house to tell him that they had gone, I did not know whether he was told from above the heavens that they had gone, or I was the one who told him they had gone. I just found out that the hijab was lowered in face of me. The Prophet entered and I was outside. And the ayah became, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا, even you, Anas ibn Malik, and all of you who used to come into the houses, to the rooms, to the earth, whatever, nook and cranny of the house of the Messenger of Allah. From now onward, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. From now, whatever you need, whatever you need to ask about, whenever you need to talk to the wife of the Messenger of Allah and other Muslim women, على القول الصحيح من أقوال العلماء فاسألوهن من وراء الحجاب. Ask them from behind the veil, and the veil was lowered. So don't come and tell me that, brother, were you not the one who said that the day of Walima, Zainab was in the room and the men were also in the room? I will tell you that that is what قبل الحجاب. That is what قبل الحجاب. Even when it is permissible that a man is in a room with his wife and any other person, but that has its own wedge. Because you see narrations of Aisha being in the room, the Prophet was there, Uthman bin Affan. Uthman bin Affan is not a husband already connected in any way to Aisha, except that from she's from Ummahatul Mu'minin. Except that she's from Ummahatul Mu'minin. So yes, she's not, he cannot marry her, but that is telling us that people, that can still happen. Of course, there are hadiths in Sahih Muslim that a man, a woman whose husband has traveled, cannot be entered upon except by two men. So when two people can go there, they can go there, but a single man, no. He says, لا يخلون أحدكم امرأة إلا وثالثهما الشيطان. How can I call عليه الصلاة والسلام? But two, they can go there based on that hadith of the Prophet in Sahih Muslim. بواب عليه الإمام النووي وغيره من العلماء. So if you come and tell me, ah brother, but why bring the woman now, let's see her at least today, today, why is it قبل الحجاب? بعد الحجاب, the woman goes all of herself up. And that is the most authentic. Imam al-Shinkiti alayhi rahmatullah, he said, when Allah say أَطْهَرْمِ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنَّ, that is most purifying for your, most being healthy for your soul, for your heart, and those of the women, is indication, is evidence that all the Muslims need their souls to be purified. So one of the things that will bring soul purity, don't say why are you insisting on hijab or niqab, yes. One of the things that brings purity of the soul is that the woman is veiled. So Imam al-Shinkiti alayhi rahmatullah was saying that this is evidence that the ruling, yes, came regarding the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But because all the Muslims need their souls to be purified, whatever will purify the souls of the wives of the Prophet and the companions, will also purify the souls of all the rest of the women. So the ruling covers all other women too. So he asked alayhi rahmatullah in his tafsir, Abwaab al-Bayan, fi ibah al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, that when a woman opens the face, how then do you say you talk to her and it is also min wara'i hijab? How can it be min wara'i hijab to a woman whose face you are seeing? But to be min wara'i hijab is the face is veiled, such that there is no part of her except that it is covered from you. Except if she is within her house and she is talking to you from outside. So the wall, or the curtain, or whatever is between, will be the veil. But what about when she comes out? What is, where, how do you apply فَسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ? How can وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ be when the face is exposed? This class is قَوِيٌّ وَجِيرٌ, and it was made by Imam al-Shinkiti and others before him. So Zainab bint Jahsh is the one we are talking about. She was loved by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not coming back to her again. So because the women understood it, they sent her to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you connect back the discussion?
Yeah.
They sent her back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You, Allah married you to him from the heaven. Go and tell her to fear Allah. Go and tell him to fear Allah regarding Aisha. رضي الله عنها. So Zainab came And Aisha said, radiallahu anha, she described Zainab bint Jahsh. Let's talk about that before we talk about what happened. Aisha radiallahu anha said about Zainab bint Jahsh, ما رأيت امرأة خيرا في الدين من زينب. عائشة رضي الله عنها said, ما رأيت امرأة, I never met a woman خيرا في الدين من زينب, that was best in her religion than زينب. So how do you think the Prophet will love her? Of course, the Prophet will love her, عليه الصلاة والسلام. But some scholar said, I don't hear Kawama like Hafsa. She used to fast and pray in the night. And don't forget, she's what? Umul Masakin. Do you understand? She's described with the long hand and that she gives the poor. She gives the Lord. Rabbi Allah anha. So she said, Mama is to Imrat and Quran to deal in Zainab. Afqa lillah. Most power or fearing of Allah, wa asbaqa hadithan, and most truthful in their speeches, wa awsala lirraham, and most connecting when it comes to the matters of ties of kingship, wa a'awwama sadaqatan, and most great in what she gives out in sadaqah. She now said, radiallahu anha. May Allah be pleased with her. This hadith was reported by Imam Muslim. So this was how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had Zainab with her. So they sent Zainab. So Aisha in some narrations had said, from those who gave me problem in that house was Zainab. That is, who can contest with her? In another nation she said, Hafsa, that she contests with me. And that was why Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet deserted his wife, made ilah of them for 29 days. Umar radiallahu anhu went to talk to Hafsa. You are following Aisha. She's the most beloved of the women to the Prophet. Alayhi salatu. Her father is the most beloved man to the Prophet. The Prophet married her when she was virgin. If you follow her, I'm sorry for you. So Hafsa radiallahu anha returned. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas. So Aisha radiallahu anha was beloved to the Prophet Muhammad. And from those who used to contest with her, you know, women, they have groups, they have, you know, themselves in themselves. And they know who they can contest with. So Zainab went to her and started to talk to Aisha. He said to the Prophet, fear Allah regarding it. Aisha said the Prophet kept silent. When the Prophet kept silent, Zainab started to talk to Aisha. It's like saying, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah. Ah, look at us too. Hey, when did this come? Let it be when we are in your room, please. So when he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi wa sallam, alayhi wa sallam, Zainab turns to Aisha. So, and then you know. Aisha said, radiallahu anha, she started to talk to me. And I was looking at the Prophet, that maybe the Prophet will tell her to stop. But he did not tell her to stop. He said, when I noticed that if I give my own, the Prophet will not see anything, I started giving my own. She said, Hatta sakat to her. Aisha said, I did so until I kept her silent. رضي الله عنها. And then the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إنها بنت أبي بكر الصديق. She's giving the daughter of Abu Bakr. It's like saying, Omo Konye. رضي الله عنهما. All that did not bring about blame. The ulama say this is evidence that things like this may happen in a polygamous home. If you go to a brother's house and see two women, people who are better than you did that. But the issue is what were the controls, what were the excess, who gave in for whom, who was patient for the mother, and all of these considerations are what the women must consider. So don't say, oh, if you marry one, if you say, don't say, oh, that, hey, if you marry now, I want one. When he is settling the rift between the two of you, he will be gathering reward for it. The husband will be having reward for it. He has more women to feed. One, let's look at this. My brother was telling me that he told you yesterday that if you think, when last did you call a Muslim brother to prepare food and tell him that please come and eat? When last did you do that? But as a married man, the more wives you have, the more of that you do. And he said the luqma you will place in the mouth of your wife is what? Sadaq. So when you have more wives, you have more opportunity for such sadaqah. You have more opportunity. So these are the best of women. So if you go to the house of your brother and you see these two women made a rock or salt, you say, hey, I want to fall down with your own danger. They didn't fight. They are just talking. Those talks are normal for the women. Some of us, we thank Allah, we don't have that in our homes. Women don't raise their voices in our homes. So don't think that we are giving you excuse. Don't think that we are giving you excuse that in case you come to our house. No, we don't have women who raise voices. It doesn't mean that women don't quarrel. But when it occurs, it's normal. Because of some women who are better than them did that. So it's not something that should scare you. But what are the controls? What did you do? How did you control the situation? They are from the things that makes your husband to be better in the sight of Allah. So the more he is able to contain the situation, the better he is. The more experienced he is. I tell you this. It makes men become more sensible and intelligent. And they are more disciplined when they deal with their wives. Many women don't like their men, their husbands, to have another wife because they are going to be more disciplined. A man with one wife is most likely to be less in his discipline in the house than a man with two wives. When a man has two, three wives, four wives, you see discipline in him. You see order in him. You see calculation in everything that he does. If he goes out of the home from one door, if he is coming back, he will pass through another door. All his mind is with his wife. Because he will be calculating not to be unfair to them. He will be reasoning. If he buys something for this one, he will be thinking about buying for the other. If he does something, he will be thinking about selling it. If he says takula once, he says another takula. That is two takula. The one with one wife only throws one takula. I tell you this. How many times has a man had to do the same single that he has to different women at different times? For some of them, because they will not hear very well, you have to repeat it. The Prophet said to Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he said, "Hiya la tastakimu laka ala tariqatin wahida, fa hiya hakada wa hakada." A woman will not stay with you in one single pattern. Today she is like this, tomorrow she is like that. So radiyallahu anha, she says, "Sakat to her." I talked to her and made her remain silent. And the Prophet said, "Hiya ibna tu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq." That hadith was reported by Imam Bukhari, Imam al-Nasai. Imam al-Nasai in his Sunan gave it a lot of attention. He even gave it a kitab, Ishrat al-Nisa. And he brought all narrations. If you want to read more about things like this, go to Sunan al-Nasai. Fortunately, most of the narrations there are authentic narrations. Inshallah, you see there. So those are the wives of the Prophet. We mentioned about four now. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, radiyallahu anha. We mentioned Aisha bint Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, al-Tamimiyya, radiyallahu anha. We mentioned Zainab bint Jahsh, radiyallahu anha. We have also mentioned Hafsa. We'll come back to Hafsa, radiyallahu anha. Hafsa is the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Hafsa is the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Maybe we should slow down. Hafsa عائشة رضي الله عنها is the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen. أول من لقب أمير المؤمنين. The first of those who were called Amir al-Mu'mineen was Umar ibn al-Khattab, Abu Hafs. You know what Abu Hafs means? Lion. Lion means, or it's called Abu Hafs, or Hafs. So you see Abu Hafs, you are talking about a lion. And of course, you know Umar رضي الله عنه. Everybody made their own hijrah silently except Umar. He would announce, I'm making hijrah tomorrow. Anyone who wants to be, make his wife to become Armala widow, meet me on the road. So it's truly Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, رضي الله عنه, العدل. So Hafs was his daughter. He was married, but her husband died later. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her after Umar radiallahu anhu proposed her to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, a good father. This is strange now. You have to find men, especially in this part of the country. In the part of the country where we live, it is more common and it is hardly found here. You can find a man telling me, brother, brother, I have a daughter, will you marry? I'm not saying that to you. Sharia. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, salatun jiddun fiha jiddun wa hazmun fiha jiddun. Three things. When you are serious, jiddun. When you are serious regarding them, it is serious. When you are joking regarding them, it is serious. So if you are laughing, you tell her that, I didn't want you, you are joking. It counts as divorce. The same thing, if you are joking, you tell her, I give you my daughter, you are just joking. It counts. The daughter becomes his wife. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, three things. Hasmin fiha jiddun, joke regarding them is seriousness. Wa jiddun fiha jiddun. When you are serious, it is also considered serious. The first one, a nikah. The second one, talaq. The third one is, in the riwayat, al-raj'a. If you can see a slave there, you are now free. When you say, okay, I'm going, say, no, I was just looking, no, it counts. Or you divorce a wife, you say, oh, yeah, come back to the house, inshallah. When she's partner, you know, I'm not going to say, it counts in the Sharia, you are taking her back. If it's the last of rejoin. Then it is not the last of rejoin, if you like joke 1 million times, she's bad enough from you. She's permanently divorced, so you can't marry her again. So that's why I quickly told the brother. So at the time people did that, Umar radiallahu anhu prevented Hafsa radiallahu anha to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. He didn't say anything. He prevented her to Uthman radiallahu anhu. He also did not accept it. He did not accept to marry her. And then he came to complain about the two of them to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يتزوج حفصة من هو خير من عثمان وتزوج من ويتزوج من هي خير من حفصة. بفضل عليه الصلاة والسلام يتزوج حفصة من هو خير من عثمان ويتزوج من هي خير من حفصة. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that يتزوج من حفصة من هو خير من عثمان. Don't worry. The person who is better than عثمان will marry حفصة.
ويتزوج الضمير هما يعود إلى آخر المذكور. So it is talking about this man. ويتزوج من هي خير من حفص. And then Uthman will marry the person who is better than Hafsa, and that was Umm Kulthum, so the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet now married Hafsa, and Uthman married Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhum. That hadith was also reported by Imam Bukhari, and then also Imam Nasa'i in his Sunan. But something happened with Hafsa. Let's talk some of what had been mentioned. The Prophet divorced her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced Hafsa and then took her back. The Ashab al-Sunan has reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam طلق الرسول صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حفصته ثم راجعها. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorced Hafsa and then took her back. It was said that Jibreel alayhi salam came to him and said, Raji'aha fa innaha sawwama qawwama. Take her back, because she's the one who sawwama fasts all the time. Qawwama, she also stands in the night all the time. Take her back. So the Prophet took her back. There are some matters here. Some scholars say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give talaq to Hafsa. This hadith is authentic. It's greater authentic than many of the scholars of hadith, including al-Imam al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah in silsilat wa hadith al-sahihah. That this hadith is authentic. So the hadith is authentic and it disproves what they say, that he did not divorce Hafsa. Second matter is that the second evidence that he divorced her is that he said Raja'ha. How can he Raja'ha take her back if there had not been a divorce? But then the fiqh here that Sheikh Al-Bani has deduced, he mentioned it in his silsila alayhi rahmatullah, that the fact that it was said about Hafsa that فَإِنَّهَا قَوَامَ قَوَامَ, that she regularly fasts and she regularly prays in the night, was not unknown to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That this is evidence that it is possible that a man has a wife that is like that, قَوَامَ قَوَامَ, and yet they have disagreements that will necessitate that he divorce her. He said, rahimahullah, that hadith is evidence that a man can have a woman who is sawama kawama, and there will still be disagreements and circumstances that will lead the man to say, please go, even when you are what? Sawama kawama. That her being sawama kawama was not unknown to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what happened was like saying, no, please take her back. Just take her back. And he took her back. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Else that he divorced her was not any blemish in his character. I mean in the character of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the asl in talaq is jawaz. Al asl fi talaq al jawaz. The asl in the ruling of talaq is jawaz. And that's why when the ahkam of talaq came, he says, Ya ayu al nabi, iza talaqtum al nisa. Oh, you messenger, when you divorce women, if talaq in itself is a blemish in the character of a man, he must say, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, and then talk about talaq. There are many other evidences in the Quran. Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his Tafsir al-Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, where he explained the verse, Ya Ayyuhan Ladhina Amanu, Iza Talaqtum al-Nisa, Iza Nakahtum al-Mu'minat, Ya Ayyuhan Ladhina Amanu, Iza Nakahtum al-Mu'minat, ثم طلقتموهن من قبل أن تمسوهن فما لكم عليهن من عدة تعتدونها. This verse, he said, if talaq were a blemish in the character of a man, he will not say, Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu. He will not ascribe it to Al-Ladhina Amanu. So the Prophet did that with Hafsa, but he took her back. But from her virtue was that she was one of the best of them in regard to recitation of the Quran. Hafsa, because she learned writing, she could write and she could read. So she preserved the Quran. And that was why when the jam was made of the Masahif, the copies of the Quran people had made, the copy was kept with her. The first copy was with her. So when Uthman ibn Affan wanted to standardize recitation, they brought the copy with her to make the standardization. The copy that was made by the committee headed by Zayd ibn Thabit was with Hafsa radiallahu anha. And she was from those who touched the Quran a lot. One of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was mentioned to be a very beautiful woman, nice in character, you know, submissive, humble, and all of that. Radiallahu anha. That is regarding Hafsa radiallahu anha. We spoke only a little about Sauda, but she's the third woman that the Prophet married alayhi salatu wasalam. She's the third woman that he married. Her marriage came after the marriage of Aisha, but she came into the house before Aisha. Her marriage, yes, some scholars say her marriage was the second, but Al-Imam ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullahi al-Bidayah al-Nihaya gave tarjih that her marriage came, and he says that we're calling Jumhur, that her marriage came after the marriage of Aisha. But Aisha was not coming to the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she did not do so until after Hijrah. But Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu anha al-Amiriyya, she came into the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately after the marriage. Her father was an old man. So who went to Abu Bakr? Connect the story back. Who went to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? Who came to the Prophet and went to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? Went to her and told her that, look, the Prophet wants to marry you. She was glad. She said, go and tell my father. And she went and told her father. The father said, go and tell your friend. She said, I told her. So what did she say? She said she loved him. He said, call her. And the marriage was done. So the ulama say, even at that, the marriage of Aisha came before her. But she came into the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately. And so she was the fourth woman in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Good deal. A woman could decide to give one of all of these rights just to allow the marriage to be maintained. A woman can do that. And the evidence for that is what Sauda did. So come, just say it, Aisha, your beloved, on my days, count it to the days of Aisha. Then let me die as your wife. And it occurred like that. So he would go to her only sometimes, give her, and then allow her, so that she will remain in the marriage. That was Sauda bint Zam'a. She was from amongst the Muslims. Radiallahu anhunna. She was amongst the Muslims who made hijrah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So she became old and she gave her days to Aisha radiallahu anha. We had exceeded the time we had stipulated. Also, we just mentioned now from the wives of the Prophet was Zainab bint Khuzaimah al-Hilaliyah radiallahu anha. She was also mentioned as Ummul Masakin likasrati ma'rufiha, because she was good at giving gifts and sadaqat. But the Prophet did not stay with her for so long. Their marriage did not last long. It was about 2 or 3 months she died. Zainab bint Khuzaimah al-Hilali. She died very early. So amongst them also was Ummu Habiba, Ramla bint Abi Sufyan, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, the sister of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, Amirul Mu'mineen. She was also one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. She migrated to Habasha too with the first set of those who did hijrah with her husband. But Huwa Tanassara, he became a Christian there, and he died upon Christianity.
When Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned, he said, La'anahullah. Because he had accepted Islam and he went above Islam. That was what broke their marriage. And the Prophet ﷺ sent the message to Ethiopia that she should be proposing marriage for him. So the Prophet married her radiallahu anha, and she came back and stayed with him alayhi salatu wasalam. It was the Al-Najashi who paid the sadaq on behalf of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. She was brought to Medina for the Prophet. She was very glad to have been the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Allah replaced that husband with something far better than that for him. So he became a Christian and died as a Christian. From amongst them, radiallahu anhunna, was also Maimuna bint Harith, also Al-Hilaliya. She's also from the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. From them also was Al-Mariya Al-Qibtiyya. She was also from them. From them also was Safiya bint Huyay, the sister, the daughter of Nabi Harun, and the sister, the niece of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Safiya bint Huyay. She is the daughter of Nabi Harun. That is, she's from the great grandchildren of Nabi Harun. And of course, for that, her uncle is Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It was said that some of the wives of the Prophet radiallahu anhunna, can you imagine who and who will be there? Aisha and Hafsa, that they had said that nahnu akramu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam minha, we are more honored in the sight of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than you. Nahnu azwajuhu, we are his wife. Wa banatu ammihi, and our fathers are his relatives. Of course, they are all from the same descendants, the Arabs. But you are, because that is how Allah created women. Remember, I said, Wala, that's why he said, if you, the woman is created from the dhila, and not just there, from the most bent aspect of the rib. He says, if you try to stretch her, kasartaha, wa kasruha, talakuha. If you try to stretch her, you will break her. And to break her is to divorce her. So if you try to be patient with her, you will be patient and she will be like that to you. Today she's like that, tomorrow she's like that. The most intelligent of men is the one who recognizes this and deals with women like that. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't say, ah, wallahi, for all of you, out, go to your father's house. Because he was the best of all. The most intelligent of people is the one who understands this fact. You know what he said? Alayhi salatu to the women. He says, Ma ra'aytu naqisatul aql wal-deen. I have never seen naqisatul aql, those whose aql are naqis, wal-deen, similarly with their religion. But he said, Azhaba lil-lubbi al-rajli al-hazim. But easily he can sway the man who is intelligent. She is naqisat al-aql wal-deen, but azhaba, quickly, she can take away al-rajul al-hazim, those intelligent men, min ishdaqunna, like you women. So if you like, start with that, you women, you say you are naqisat al-aql wal-deen, she will show you that naqisat al-aql. So you have to control the women. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, فَاسْتَوْتُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. Deal with these women nicely. If you deal with your women, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Deal with the women nicely. When you deal with them nicely and with patience, you see what Allah will reward you. Deal with women nicely.
So the Prophet helped them because he understood them, he knew how they were, and he dealt with them accordingly. So the Sunnah is to be like him. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ إِذَا خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. I understand them better, so I control them. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So we must be like that, like our messenger. And you, these women. The brother narrated an incident that there is an imam in a masjid in Lagos. That this imam, he came into the masjid to lead salah. And then instead of saying the takbirat al-ihram, Allahu Akbar, he said, Ayyu bihi, eh, Fabi? It shows, it will make us know the level of the Prophet Muhammad. And yet he will come, he will lead the Salah. When he said Abu Bakr and Siddiq should lead the Salah, Aisha, the daughter, was saying, he used to cry, he said, let them lead the Salah. So the maybe that Imam has only one or two wives. If he has a third wife, he will be more intelligent. And he will be more determined to control them. So, when the situation is like that, you look at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know who he was. You appreciate him more. You appreciate his leadership qualities more. And then he kept them all, not in different houses around the city, in the same house. And then he will visit each of them every day, and then end up his visit in the day of the one who has the night. And they all too will sit down in a group and gist with themselves and talk to themselves, and at the end of the day each of them will go back to their room. They had nice times as the wives of the Messenger of Allah. Alayhi salatu wassalam wa radiyallahu anhunna. Because the wives knew who they were married to, that he was the Messenger of Allah. And he knew who, those to whom he was married, the way Allah has created them. When the man seems confused, it is because he is lacking. He either does not understand himself, or he does not understand his wife, or the situation is just beyond his knowledge and intelligence. But with dua and with strength in him, understanding, you will find them from the best of people. From the best of people to deal with are the women. They give sadaqah a lot, they fast a lot, and they make dua a lot. As a man, if you want success, be nice to your wife and tell her to make dua for you. You will see. Be nice to your wife and encourage her to make dua for you. You see the barakat and the khairat that Allah will place upon whatever you do. You are very nice, and Allah loves the women. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam loves them too. So he says, Antum ahabbu an-nas ilayya. You are the best of people to me. So don't let that make you feel that the women are the best from the best of creatures. So we are the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hafsa and Aisha were saying that regarding Safiya. So she came and told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet said to her, كَيْفَ تَكُونَانِ خَيْرًا. How are they going to be better than you? He said, go and tell them that كَيْفَ تَكُونَانِ, how will you be better? وَزَوْجِ مُحَمَّدِ, and my husband is Muhammad. وَأَبِي هَارُونِ, my father is Harun. وَعَمِّي مُوسَى, and my uncle is Musa. So you only have your husband as prophet. But me, my husband is prophet like you, one wife. You know, but my father was Harun, because she's from the descendant of Nabi Harun. And my uncle is what? Nabi Musa alayhi salam. But don't forget, Ayyunnas ahabbu ilayk, he said, Aisha radiallahu. So this is one of the ways of dealing with women. You make each of them know her worth. You don't let us hear you, you are useless. There's not any good thing in you. Everything you have is bad. No. Recognize the good thing in her and make her know that you have this good thing. Make each of them, you are good in social and so. You are good in social and so. And in that area in which she's defective, try to correct her. Wallahi, women used to take correction. Unless the man is not patient. Women take correction. We only need the patience. So once you are impatient, that's why he said, فَإِنْ كَسَبْتَهَا وَكَسْرُهَا تَلَاقُهَا. You may not break it, and when you break it, you divorce her. But when you are patient with her, you live with her, you enjoy her, she will change, she will suit you, and you will enjoy her. So the Prophet told her, you need to go and tell them that one. That hadith is reported by Imam Tirmidhi. These were the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We only try to also shed light on them, else each of them suffices for a whole discussion. Khadija suffices for a whole discussion. Aisha suffices, and so are the wives of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. These are the kind of women who live with me, excellent women. Safiya bint Hiyal was described to be very intelligent and very patient. Safiya bint Hiyal, very intelligent, very patient. So she lived with the Prophet. That's why the fact that she was a Jewess. You remember she's a Jew? Sophia is a Jew. You know, that's why she's also called a Nabriya, because she's from Banu Nadir, who were sent out of Medina. So her parents stayed with Banu in Khaybar with the Jewish tribe there. And that was from where the Prophet married her after he went in the Ghazwa with the people in Khaybar. He took them hostage, and she was from the freed slave. And the sadaq, the marriage gift for Safiya bint Huyay, was her freedom from slavery. Radiallahu anha. He freed her and then married her. Radiallahu anha. If you ask, how did the Prophet know the forefathers of Safiya bint Huyay? I would say, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٍ يُحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ سَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.